Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And today we are joined by Katie Kirby, otherwise known as Hurrah for Gin!
Hurrah!
Hello.
Now what do you prefer? Do you prefer Katie? Do you prefer Hurrah? Do you prefer
Gin. Curbs? I think Kerbo? Gin for short, maybe. I quite like that.
Ginny.
All right, then, Kerbo. I like Kerbo. I'm into
it. Do you?
Yeah. You can call me
the K-Ker.
The big K. Special K.
Special K. That was my rave name.
Was it?
Well, that was one of them. And I had 808 Kate. 808 Stage is another one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think they were the mostly the two that I had, yeah.
Did you ever go into the K-hole?
You're right, your mother might listen. You're quite right.
The PR people are just having vomits now.
For the first question, that's quite
Yeah,
obvious.
No, we're going to...
Straight to the class B's.
She brought up raves though.
Yeah, sorry.
She asked for it. Now, of course, Hurrah for Gin is a massively popular blog, and now it's a best-selling book. K-hole. Amazing scenes.
Yes. Yeah.
So, when was the book out? When was it released?
Oh, it's about a month ago. It feels like forever ago, actually, though. So yeah, it's only been a month, but it's been a bit crazy. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And for anyone who's not familiar with Hurrah for Gin, how would you describe it?
It's about parents who are incapable and just like drinking gin and neglecting their kids.
What an original idea. We should do a podcast about that, Helen.
I like this idea, Ellie. She's onto a winning formula, I believe.
Yeah. But your sort of specialty is little stick figure drawings,
aren't
they? It is,
yeah. I just sort of fell into that, really. I just started doing the odd one, and then it kind of became my thing. And, enjoy it. It's nice. It's nice to kind of add that. Some pictures, and it kind of gets the humour across quite well, I think.
So. Yeah, I think so. And I think in a world awash with ill-informed opinion about parenthood, it's nice just to have some, you know, let's be honest, slightly shit drawing,
yeah,
but with very, very, very funny jokes.
I feel quite lucky that I stumbled across it in a way, because I feel also it kind of makes my life a bit easier.
Like, yeah.
I can do some shit pictures and people just think they're funny without... putting too much effort into it.
Good.
So, yeah, it's all good. It's easy.
And what I like it, you don't need grammar. Yeah.
No, you don't.
Don't need full stop.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's
you can overuse an apostrophe, which I like to do, which makes Ellie feel unwell.
Sucking my teeth. Sucking my teeth. But yeah, no, you're right about the stick figures. It's like when Picasso realised he didn't have to draw proper drawings, he could just do wiggly lines, isn't it? It's like Monet,
it's exactly
just put some
like
blobs
that.
On the paper.
Modern
easy.
Day Monet, yeah. Yeah.
He couldn't draw hands, Monet, that's why he started doing
hands,
the bridges.
Very similar.
Now listen, we'll have more Hurrah for Gin chat later. But first, Helen, what's that delicious wine you're drinking?
I'm so glad you asked, Ellie. It is called I Heart Wines. I love Pinot Grigio. And it's really nice. And they sent it to us at our house for free.
Yes.
And it's lovely.
It is lovely. It is
so
very
delicious.
So thank you, iHeart Wines.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for literally fueling this podcast. Now, let's start with a bit of family chat, shall we, Katie? Please tell us about your family.
Oh, I've got a family and they consist of me and I'm the mum. And the dad is Jim, who's in the kitchen cooking our pizza.
Correct.
I've got two boys and they're 6 and 3 years old.
So you're still sort of straddling the kind of nursery.
Yeah, which
school.
Is, it can be quite stressful, to be honest, when you're kind of trying to do a job that's not really a job, but also requires a lot of work around the clock. It's all juggling act, but it's, yeah, I don't know. It's
so boring. What's their favourite TV show?
Lego Ninjago.
I like that one. Yeah, it's really good.
It's got, actually, to be honest, it's got quite a good plot line. It's not too bad, but yeah, they like that. They like anything fighting, killing, you know, violence, that type of thing.
Ellie has two boys. She can. Oh, yes, yes.
Do they like those kind of killing things?
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of, you know, I sort of had this idea that they would like all different kinds of television programmes, and we own copies of Frozen and Brave and all these great modern feminist polemics, and they just want to watch the fucking Turtles and the Power Rangers.
Anything
that kind of has that kind of sound effect.
I tried the gender neutral parenting thing and it didn't really work out for me.
I've got a play kitchen
over there in the corner that I used to put books on and store stock because they don't care
Terrible. In the bin. Yeah. So how far were you kind of into motherhood when you came up with the idea of the blog?
It was when my littlest was about 6 months old, and I was finding it really hard to get back into work. I've always worked in like advertising, so sort of, you know, long hours and up in London, and it's really hard trying to find someone that take you part-time, so couldn't find anything to do. Just thought, I need something to keep my brain ticking over, and I thought, oh, I'll start a blog. And it was literally as simple as that. I sat on the sofa, and my husband was like, what are you going to call it? And I just was like, I call it Hurrah for Gin. And that was it. And he was like, don't call it Hurrah for Gin. I was telling you the story a bit. He was like, don't call it Hurrah for Gin because you won't get any brands wanting to work with you. But that was never, I was like, I don't care. I don't want to work with brands. It's just, I just like writing. I'm just going to write about my kids from a real perspective about how parenting can be hard, but it's funny. And let's all just share, you know, the silly moments. And then,
and you never know, you know, we really recently did some work with the NSPCC and we're called the Scummy Mummies. So,
I think it works out quite well because now, like, you get the nice wine. I get lots of gin companies contacting me going, oh, let me send you some gin. And I'm like, so, you know, it couldn't have worked any better. So
do you actually like gin, though?
Yeah, like, yeah, I do. But the one thing is I probably don't drink it as much as people think I do. So I don't drink it every day. Like, I'd more likely to drink wine.
So you're not like a Hogarthian portrait of, like, a woman with half her breast going out and an old man with four teeth going, arrgh!
Gin, not at all. I drink it more as a treat. And I don't get drunk on gin, really. Apart from my launch party, I did get very drunk on gin.
I hope so.
Yeah. So I have occasionally, but mostly I use it as a, like, you know, aperitif, like, pre-dinner type thing.
Yeah.
But I do
take
like
the
it,
edge off. Because my friend Nurse Jessie, who's been on the podcast before, she was told by a doctor that gin makes you cry. Do you find, because I don't like gin, I don't drink it, so I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it's I don't know, not more than anything else, I don't think. But I don't know.
Does it make you cry, Helen?
No, not at all. You know me, I just cry, you know, like if someone compliments my children.
Anything with the snakes and the iguanas made you cry the other day.
Oh my God, yeah, the new Planet Earth 2. I had my kids, what's it called, parent-teacher interview tonight.
Yeah.
And they complimented my children. You know, as soon as you hear that your kid's not shit, you're like, really?
Yeah, that's amazing.
You mean they can read? Oh, my God.
Shut your face.
You're not a total asshole. You're like, God, thank you.
Can you write that down? Not a cunt.
But I love a good gin.
Yeah, gin is good, but I'm not a massive connoisseur, so people keep sending me all these really posh gins, but actually, in a way,
it tastes a bit like gin.
Apart from, like, Hendrix tastes a bit cucumbery. When they're flavoured, they taste different. But to me, other than that, they pretty much the same.
So, oh, beg your pardon, Katie's husband is delivering some pizza.
But I think it would have been a bit rubbish if you called the blog Meh for Gin. It just wouldn't have had quite.
No, it wouldn't.
Take it or leave it for gin.
And it's the mother's connection with gin, like the mother's ruin type thing. It's kind of, you know.
Yeah. But you did have your first taste of gin when you were 8, is that right?
I guessed at that, but yeah, pretty much. I just remember when being really young, and my mum and dad, they always used to drink gin and tonic. So my dad still mixes the best gin and tonic. He makes them really strong. But they used to give me sips of them when I was young, and I'm like, yuck. Yeah. Wasn't good. But slowly, over the course of time, going to like it.
One of my favourite confessions, I can't remember if it was in the show or on the podcast, but someone was like, the other day I turned around to see my son eating a piece of lemon. Well, I thought, at least it's fruit. Then I realised it was from my gin and tonic.
And also, like,
I guess, you know, we see a certain picture of you, i.e. a stick figure mum. I mean, you know, behind the curtain, what's the real Katie like?
I don't know. I try to, probably I'm quite a lot more stressed than I like to give the impression of.
Yeah.
I find, you know, motherhood's hard, isn't it? It's quite a struggle. I often feel guilty and stressed about not being there or not being present enough or not like wanting to play with them or being the perfect kind of, you know, earth mother type thing. But I try as much as I can to chill out and not worry about stuff like that. And things like the blog has helped with that, I think, because so many people then comment and say that's made them feel better. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not alone. It's not just me. Yeah. Everyone else is the same. Everyone feels guilty all the time. But we shouldn't. I honestly think we shouldn't feel guilty.
This is wild statistics about parenthood today. Like, we're actually spending like twice as much time with our children, because when we were growing up, our parents just basically said, fuck off and come home when it's dark. But for some reason, we've been awash with guilt going, you're not doing macrame with your children and you're not making handmade Play-Doh and you're not,
yeah, you know, nuts. Involving them in everything. I just think we used to get ignored when we were kids, like pretty much.
Got on
just
with
like
it,
going, go off and play and you're going to get outside and play. And now you do feel like everyone's doing all these weird, insane classes with their kids all the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't do much with mine, but it's just insane how much people feel the need to entertain their kids.
Apparently we're fucking them up as well. Yeah, because apparently kids are meant to be more bored and we're like going, oh no.
Oh no, they're not now. There's a new thing now.
Oh, sorry. I'm not up with today's.
Being bored is actually really bad for you, it turns out.
Oh, okay. Oh.
It's almost as if these people are making this shit up as they go along.
I cannot identify with that.
People are pulling shit out of their arseholes to make us feel bad. I just cannot imagine.
I hate the patriarchy.
Yeah. God damn you. but yeah, I think there is this pressure to kind of do stuff all the time, and also to kind of be interested in it. I mean, I don't get off on Paw Patrol. I don't want to play Paw Patrol for 90 minutes.
So boring. Playing with kids is so boring because they just want to do the same thing again and again and again. Mm. And it is just killing me now, pretty much most of the time. And also, like, I find, I'll play this game with me, Mummy. You be that one. And I'd be like trying to, oh yeah, well, I'll be this guy doing this. And they're like, no, you're doing it wrong. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to be doing? So I'm actually quite scared. I'm standing on the sidelines, scared of how to, you know, to be this like Paw Patrol guy or Fireman Sam or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm always getting it wrong. Like, how can you, you know,
what do you want from me?
What do you want from me? Exactly.
Yeah. And like my littlest Joe, so he's nearly two. And his favourite book is one of the, are you familiar with the Biff? Was it Biff
and Chip and
Biff, Chip and Kit Kat?
Is that the reading thing?
Kipper, Biff.
Quim,
Minge,
and Bang Bang,
Foof.
Yeah, these terrible phonics books. Mm-hmm. And so my two-year-old, I mean, he can barely speak, let alone read. But his favourite book is this Chiff Boffin Wing Wang book called Shops. And it's literally the most boring book I've ever read. And it's like, Jane has a shop. It is a hat shop. And I just, the highlight of the whole book is on page 8. Peter sells ships. He has a ship shop. And I look forward to that because, for obvious reasons, it's the best page in the book. And that's the highlight. And I have to read that book about 18 times a day. And I want to put it on a fire. I'm not going to dress it up, to be honest.
That's fine.
Do you have a children's book you hate, Helen? I mean, I know you put the Rolf Harris ones in the bin. Let's not speak of that. Let's never speak of that again.
It was broken, Ellie. It was why are you putting that book in the bin, Mummy? It's broken.
Everything's ruined. That's why.
That's right.
My kids, yeah, they've got a book called All About Scabs,
which they really, really, really love.
Is it about the miners' strike in the 1980s?
It's like, don't pick that scab. And it's a really detailed, nerdy book about, like, fibrin and how you shouldn't eat your scabs and all that stuff.
Why shouldn't you eat your scabs? Why shouldn't you eat them?
Because it's yucky, apparently.
That's not science. That's just an arbitrary, subjective
decision.
Neither
is Biff and Chip. So the other day I cut a really big toenail off my son and he said, should I put it under my pillow and then the nail fairy will come? I was like, no, that doesn't work. Gross. Yeah, so All About Scabs is, it drives me fucking mad.
Do you have a hated book?
Oh, I don't know. Like, yeah, it probably would be stuff like that, like castles and space and that kind of stuff. That's just that repetitive fact. That's really annoying. And I hate all the Fireman Sam and the Thomas Tank books.
Oh, Thomas the Tank Engine. Oh, my God.
He's such an idiot. Thomas is such an idiot, just every time.
But he's a really useful engine.
Not, though, no, that's he's the not. Point. He's terrible.
He just goes round and round the same track. Come on now.
I'll tell you what, though.
He needs fired.
James is quite fit. I haven't even had any wine. I haven't even had any wine. Of all of them, I would probably do James. Which one would you do? I bet I can predict
Gordon.
Which one you do.
Gordon.
I did Gordon.
Oh. Who were you thinking?
I think you'd go for Percy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's so jolly.
Bay, you know, a bit, yeah. Yeah. Gordon, I was going to say Toby, because I like a chubby man.
Oh, God, no, no.
Oh, no, but you know who I fancy? Because, you know, I fancy an Ed Balls and a Tom Watson. I like a chubby Labour parliamentarian for some reason. That really, you know, woo.
That's your vote.
Yeah.
Prescott, nice. Would you?
He made me, you know, Prescott made me go into Labour. I was watching a documentary about John Prescott, and I laughed so hard my water's broke, and I thought I'd actually wet myself. Yeah. Like, literally.
It turned out she just had an orgasm.
I do, yeah, I do love a chubby left-wing Labour guy. Don't know what it is.
Wow.
Anyway, let's not talk about it, because I might arouse myself on your couch. Nobody wants that, Katie. Nobody
Watch
wants
out.
That.
Watch Ooh. Out, John McDonnell. Okay.
Now, I read in your book, because I want to, you know, I want to delve down into Katie Kirby.
I literally can't remember what I wrote in my book now. So yeah, I know. I never, like, want to read about it. It's kind of like, yeah. Well, it's just like, once you've done it, you can't change it. So looking back on it, I just go, oh, I hate that bit. You know, I'm never going to be pleased with what I've done, and I'm scared of spotting things that are wrong, and I hate it. Look at it now.
We're editing our book coming out on March 9th.
Subtle.
Yeah.
Buy her half a chin. It's much better.
But it'll be 59p by then. Yeah.
We're in actually, the basement shop.
Yeah.
We're actually writing a sequel called Yay for Vodka. So look out for that as well.
We're so shameless. Like, we were reading the book and laughing out loud, going, this is so funny.
Your own one or mine?
No, mine.
I'm saying we do sit there going, that's a good joke, yeah. That's yours. No, it's yours, that. Yeah. No,
I love it when you laugh at your own jokes. I sometimes do that when I'm writing my blog post or something, and Jim will be like, what are you laughing? I'm like,
me?
You're so funny. I'm like, yeah, I'm quite funny. Actually, I don't do that often. But it is quite an indicator of something that will do quite well, is when if I find it really funny to write, it usually is received better.
I think so. And there's something, you know, we've been taught as women forever that we can't enjoy ourselves and we can't take pride in what we do, and there's that thing. But yeah, I like, but anyway, what we were talking about was you. Keep bringing it back to me, Ellie.
You do, yeah.
Strange.
It's so weird. Anyway, in your book, in one particular paragraph, you say you got a tattoo on your bum.
Oh, do I? Oh, yeah. I remember that now. I was illegally getting a tattoo because I was only 17 maybe or something. My first girls' holiday, we went to Newquay, and we were at college, and literally we met two guys who were quite cool and living in the sort of same apartment block as ours, and they were like, we're going to get tattoos, and me and my friend were like, okay, we'll come with you and get tattoos, and then went in and was like, I'll have that, and just that was as easy as it was.
Oh my God.
So it's a bluebird, like kind of from Bambi, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, they're kind of, it's, I mean, now it just looks like a blue splodge on the band. But do you want to see?
Yes, yes. Come on.
I'm seeing a ravager.
Let's have a look.
Oh,
I
know, that's cute.
It's all faded now. You can hardly see it. No, it used to be all nice. Like, different colours. Yeah. I'd never get rid of it, because even though it's bad and it's a bit of shit now, it's that memory. It's like such a great holiday. We're just like, yeah, I'm going to go and get a tattoo. Like, I don't really care. And how can you delete, you know, something from that? From
and it fucking hurts to get deleted. So don't. And yeah, it costs money.
Never would, yeah.
So obviously you're hilarious, Special K, but what makes you laugh?
I like really stupid humour, but anything really random. And in terms of like stuff that I like watch, like The Office is my absolute favourite. I've
Correct.
Have three really good things that I've decided between. It's The Office, Alan Partridge, absolutely love, and Peep Show. They're like my three things that I keep watching again. I can watch again and again, and they get better every time. But I'm still going to go for The Office. It's my ultimate favourite, because it not only is super funny, but it encapsulates the emotion. Like, it's got those emotional relationship stories going in the background, which I love.
But I think that's what makes your book very good. Is that there's like clearly there's the stupidity. There's the
your book is very stupid.
It is quite stupid, to be fair. Yeah.
But it's very, very clever and very
It's funny. A fine line between clever and stupid, to quote our favourite film.
Exactly. But there are bits of your book that are very, very touching and really lovely and very, very sweet. I don't know if you intended
it. Yeah, I did. I felt, I mean, obviously, you know, when you write a blog and you get feedback all the time on Facebook and you get people saying, are you pushing it too far? And I always try and toe the line a bit, but in my book, I'm conscious of it being there forever. And so I still want to keep the same humour. So the kids are annoying, they drive me mad, blah, blah, blah. But they're also amazing. So I really tried to find that balance between the kind of sweet moments and the frustrating moments and end on a really, you know, nice note. And they are, you know, I love my kids. They're my everything. So they drive me mad. But that's the reason they drive you mad is because they're just literally, they're your life. They take over everything.
Yeah.
So
if you didn't care about them, they wouldn't drive you mad.
No, you would just let them watch bloody telly. It's a testament to what kind of parent you are, the fact that you're feeling guilty or feeling frustrated because you want to make, you want to do the best job that you can. So
the more shouty you are, the better mother you are.
Exactly, I think so.
I'm such a good mum today, so I love them so much.
Did really well before the school run.
Those shoes.
That was great.
If only they could take longer to put on their shoes so I could shout more, really.
No one could do the school run without shouting. Brush your teeth, get your shoes on every day.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Have you had negative feedback then?
Yeah, I have. You know, you always get the kind of people who would say, children are a gift from God and you should appreciate them. And not everyone can have children. Not everyone can have children. So I do feel conscious of that. But at the same time, I don't feel like I'm complaining about my children the way I don't want to have them. I feel like I'm just making light of the hard times. So it's just about making people smile when sometimes they find it hard.
Yeah, nobody's saying, I wish I hadn't done this, you know, nobody's saying...
No, I never think that, and I think most people don't either. It's just about trying to laugh at, you know, anything in life. You can always find someone in a worse situation from yourself, but, you know, that's just, this is the way it is.
I mean, I know somebody who's got 3 kids, imagine that, nightmare.
Nightmare! Outrageous! <Yeah. laughs> So, like, with the book, and I was talking about sort of the light and shade... You let your husband write a bit.
I did, yeah. Ooh. And then I felt like, I really like that dads get basically involved in parenting. I think that it should be an equal job. So when I get a dad's comment and follow my blog, it really makes me feel happy. I just think it's a really good thing that dads also relate to it. So I try and, when I write my blogs or when I write my book, try and say, I mean, obviously I'm a mum, so I say mum, but... I try as much as I can to write it from a parenting perspective so dads could read it too.
Mm.
And from that perspective, I just thought, I want to talk about a dad. So I thought, I asked her and I said, oh, you know, would you want to write a chapter? And he's kind of like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I could be funny or... But it, I was like, it doesn't need to be funny. I'll, you know,
I love how you were like, yeah, you went like, of course you're funny.
Yeah,
I know. Like, oh, don't worry about that.
No, I love it. It was almost in capital letters. This bit is not funny.
I did say, yeah.
It was very sweet.
I thought it's nice, and I get dads that read, so I just thought, you know, maybe that's a nice nod to them. And it's part of, you know, it was a big part of parenting being dad too. So
has there ever been anything you've written either in the book or the blog where your husband's kind of gone, I don't like that, I think you shouldn't have shared that? Or
so Jim will basically vet, he's the only person who vets my posts before I put them up. And the only thing was when we went camping with the kids, and in the middle of the night I needed to wee, and so I wrote a post about how I picked up the discarded cup that I've been drinking wine out of and just did a piss in a cup.
Brilliant.
And he,
one girl, one cup.
And I drew the, yeah, so, kind of, so, no, slightly so. Less.
And then like drank it. Yeah.
But I drew a picture of me pissing into a cup in a tent, and he was like, do you really want, you know, hundreds of thousands of people to read to see this picture about read about? And
what,
I was,
no. In stick figures? It's not like you took a selfie with your family.
Which was Wing, because I took a potty with us as well, so it's Wing to a little duck potty that we brought with us. So I just changed it, so I was squatting over a potty instead of literally like holding a cup under my fanny and wearing it.
Which is an That's image it. I'm not going to be able to escape tonight.
Everyone does it.
Oh, everyone does it. We did a couple of festivals that summer when I was pregnant with Joe.
Yeah.
So I bought we called it a urinal gourd, didn't we?
It's hilarious.
A urinal gourd. And it comes, it's like a sort of big, it's bright red because you want everyone on the campsite to see it.
Yeah.
And then it's got this special, basically twat-shaped attachment. Yeah. But I've lost the attachment now. I don't know where it's gone. So I just have to sort of clamp the thing to hoping the gourd that, to
well,
the
you
hole.
Know, well, yeah. It's just like, well, you know the wee's coming out the front part, not the back part, so
oh,
you
so
know
it
think,
actually
what?
Comes out. It's not a collecting thing, it comes out of the end. It's like a
no like if you imagine like a Tudor bulbous sort of, you know, drinking flask.
Mm.
Made of plastic with a funnel attachment at the top. The natty thing is, it's got a lid, and yeah. Ellie can screw it on, keep it piss fresh,
yeah.
And then just tip it out in the morning.
Tank it out in the morning.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good. It's good that you're drinking that nice nice white wine.
It's good
to
share.
It's very good to share.
So, how did the blog sort of take off, or when did you realise like it was going to be a big thing?
I don't know really if I ever did, but I just I suppose for a year I was kind of plugging away writing, and no one. You start a blog and no one really reads it. You know, you think you're writing good stuff, and then no one reads it. And I get loads of people all the time saying, oh, can you read my blog and share my post? And I'm like, well, no. Not in a mean way, but, you know, you start from nowhere, and it takes years to kind of build. It's not like a quick win. It's not like you write one post and everyone goes, wow, that's amazing.
Because how long have you been going before you got the book deal, I guess?
Two and a bit years, so it's been like three and a and luckily now I can kind of turn it into something I can make a bit of money out of. I can, you know, sustain and doing it as a career, but ultimately what I get out of it is the fact that so many people message me saying, you know, you've made me laugh, you've made me feel better about myself, you've turned a shit day into a good day, and I feel normal now, and that kind of stuff. And that's really, it's really good. It's really nice.
And it has to keep being said. I think that because a new mum is born every minute.
Yeah, exactly. So there's always
the
someone
same, and the same, you know, apprehensions, the same fucking life change happens, and no one really can you know, prepare you for it. And your blog has been great for that.
You might as well have a laugh at it, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And listen to our podcast, which is very good.
But what do you say when people say, oh, you know, how do I make it? How do I get my blog big? Or how do I monetize my blog? That's the thing, isn't it? How do I actually turn it into a job?
So I don't know. I think you've just got to do it. No one wants to hear it, but it's like it's hard work and doing it because you like it. I mean, I didn't I started writing because I love writing. Mm. I just enjoy it. So it's obviously I wanted some people to read it. So you start and you try and sort of network a bit and you get some readers who think, you know, that's fine. I'm quite happy having, you know, 10, 15, 20, and it grows and grows. But ultimately, if you don't like doing it, you're not going to...
Mm.
You have to do it because there's a passion inside you that likes writing and likes creating content. Some people start blogs for very different reasons. They do it because they want to turn into a job and they want to make money and they want to work with brands. Or some people start it because they like writing and they want to. So for me, how I would now... you have to monetize it some way after a while.
Yeah.
Because if you're spending a lot of money, a lot of time doing it, then it's... You can't just literally spend, you know, full time.
Yeah,
you're doing it. So for me, the way to monetize it was what I always hoped perhaps would happen is that I can turn into like a writing or creating, which I do for my cards and the book. So yeah, it's all good.
So how did the book deal come about then?
My editor just contacted me. She was on maternity leave at the time, and she was like, "Oh, you know, have you thought about? I've been reading your blog. Have you thought about writing a book?" And I was like,
Yes, not that asked, but now that you mention it, maybe. Thought never crossed my mind. What's a book? Never
What's
heard
a book?
Of it.
Don't yeah, read, yeah. Don't yeah. like that. So that was it, really. Yeah, it's quite simple. But
and now he writes. Is there going to be a follow up book?
It's in discussion, so we'll see. But yeah,
have you ever thought of doing a collabo? Because I was thinking, you know, like McBusted, we could do like Hurrah for Scummies, or
we could. I'd like that. We should do a collaboration. Good. Yeah, we should.
Yeah, but she draws stick figures, mate. She couldn't do us.
So never enough.
She couldn't get the majesty of the Glumpy Cat suits. That would be tough.
You're getting a bit famous. Mm. Have you had random people come up to you and say weird things?
Yeah, a bit. Well, not they don't say that many weird things, but I do sometimes in the supermarket or particularly in like a park or a kind of kids like playgroup. Then people would recognise me. I did see we were driving along the car the other day and I saw someone. I've got Hurrah for Gin jumpers. I don't know if you've seen them.
Yeah.
And I saw someone at the window wearing a jumper and I went, ah! And my husband went, what? Oh my God! And I was like, what? And he nearly crashed the car and he was like, what's that? And I said, someone's wearing a jumper. He's like, fuck's sake.
Oh, get over yourself.
He was really annoyed. I was like, that's so weird to see someone wearing a jumper with your blog name on there. I was like, I didn't know that.
Where can people get these jumpers again, Katie?
Selfish Mother. Yeah. Then the money goes to charity. It goes to like a creative writing charity for children, disadvantaged children that my friend runs. So buy a jumper.
Buy a jumper
and
from
the wine and my book and your book and all the things we've mentioned.
Exactly. No. It's just like this morning.
Yeah.
And speaking of being recognised, I do want to say a big hello to the Clarks woman. Now,
oh my God, yes, we must mention the Clarks woman.
Now, if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you may remember the Clarks woman. It's a woman who came up to me in Clarks in Bromley and she's a Scummy Mummies listener. And we mentioned it on the podcast and we met her husband in a cafe, weirdly.
Yeah.
And then she came to our show in Bromley last week. And we've discovered her name is Hannah, I think. But I prefer the Clarks woman. So I'm just going to keep calling her that.
Hello, Clarks woman.
Yeah. And she said that when she heard us talking about her on the podcast, she was on like a packed tube and she had her headphones in and she was like, and she like couldn't believe it. And she was laughing and she sort of wanted to tell everyone on the tube,
I'm on a podcast.
She's on the podcast. So I just want to say hello, Clarks woman Hannah. And I hope you are listening. And I want you to, what I want you to do now, Clarks woman, is I want you to look around at everybody, right, that's on the tube and imagine them completely naked. That's it. All their little bum holes. Or it's quite cold this time, isn't it? All their little nips, like little blue clothes pegs.
I bet that guy across from her has got a nipple piercing.
Oh, yeah. I bet the guy on sitting right next to her has got a Prince Albert. So think about that, Clarks woman.
Yeah, and, you're welcome.
Yes, enjoy your commute. Good. So what's next for Hurrah for Gin? Could there be a movie adaptation?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm that keen, but I have vaguely talked about some of this. Bit overexposing and stuff. Although I did talk to someone about a movie, and then I spent about half a day fantasising about who would play me.
Who would?
It would have to be Jennifer Lawrence, because I'm going to go big guns and just be like, right, she's in, that's it, I'm out.
Yeah. Screw Jane Horrocks.
Yeah, no, it has to be someone younger and hotter than me, I think. Yeah.
Who's going to play you in the Scummy Mummies film then?
Who's really beautiful?
Miriam Margolyes?
Ooh. Yeah. How about you, Ellie?
I I'm trying to think now. Yeah, I'm like you, Katie. I'd want to go for someone. So K-hole. I'd want to go for someone. I was thinking
Lily Allen. You look a bit
Lily Allen. You do.
It's not the first time I've.
What about Natalie Imbruglia?
Yes,
that's true.
Natalie Portman.
See, my husband's got a thing about Natalie Portman.
Anne Hathaway. You have got a bit of an Anne Hathaway thing going on.
So many options.
Look, you're saying I'm a brunette with a big face. We all know what you're saying. We all know exactly what you're saying. All right, just leave it. No, go on, Helen. Go on. Who would you have?
Oh, I know, Billy Piper.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely have you Billy have a look, Piper. Of, a look of the Piper.
Yeah.
Linda Robson?
Could be.
Bob Hoskins? Is he even alive still? Anyway. literally
my,
can't remember.
My friend once got stoned and said I look like Christian Slater. Is that mean?
I think that's just stoned.
Okay, that's stoned. That's being
yeah.
high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Christian Slater, if you are listening. Nothing is meant by it.
And anyone who loves him. Okay, good.
I did used to fancy Christian Slater. Did you like him?
Yeah, I did. Not as much as Ed Balls, obviously. But
of course.
Not a fat, overweight Labour politician. But yes, you know, he does have a certain... You know,
Ed Balls is so good in Heathers. I really loved him.
So good.
Great.
Good. All right. Is it almost time for Scummy Mummy Confessions, Ellie?
I think it is literally time for Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Good. Ellen.
My confession is quite bleak, really. So we're sitting here in your lovely home, K-Ra, and we've all just recently found out that Donald Trump is the new leader of the free world, which is, wow, that's news,
very
isn't
exciting.
It?
Very exciting.
That's a piece
very
of news.
Very excited to see how this pans out.
Yeah. So me and my husband were discussing it in what we thought were hushed tones this morning and obviously using lots of swear words. And I didn't realise that my five-year-old, Charlie, was listening to us. And next thing I knew, this little voice piped up, "Mummy, what's the KKK?" I was like, oh my God, this is the world that we're living in now. I have to explain to my son what the KKK is. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't have the nuts. I thought, you know what, at five, I don't think you need to know what the KKK is. Or
you could say something like Kentucky Fried Chicken. And he wouldn't know because he doesn't know how to read.
I said, yes, it's a new shop in Blackheath called Kites, Kites, Kites.
Very exciting. Lots of lovely kites.
Michelle 2020, that's all we're saying.
Yeah.
Skip the next 4 years.
So that's my confession. I think it's definitely the saddest confession I've ever shared on this podcast. But, you know, we are living on the edge of a terrific apocalypse. So here we are.
Hooray.
Yay.
The pizza's lovely.
Yeah.
Katie.
Yeah.
Katie.
Do you have a scummy mummy confession? You say perhaps one of your pets has died.
No.
How do you trump that?
Long time ago. I haven't had a pet for a year. A long time. But,
do you have a cheerier confession? That might lighten it up.
I haven't really prepared anything like this, but I'm only just thinking about things I do on a day-to-day basis, which is basically let my children sleep in a bed that smells a bit like piss because I kind of get to wash the clothes. Is that suitable?
That's pretty scummy.
That's very scummy.
Or sniff their school trousers and just think, okay, it's fine. I haven't got anything else ironed, that kind of stuff.
Bit of Febreze or
Febreze them down and then they'll be fine, I think.
Febreze is your friend.
Every parent's answer to life, isn't it, really?
Well, there we go. I think that's about it, Helen.
That is. Katie Kirby, you have been a delight. Thank you very much. I feel like we've gone behind the stick figures. We've found the woman behind the swears. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you
for having me.
Thank you, iHeartWines. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Do tell your friends. Do visit scummymummies.com for details of our live shows. And we're doing some stuff at Christmas and all of that jazz. And follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Scummy Mummies. And your book is out now, Katie.
Yeah, buy it.
Very reasonably priced.
Yep.
Our book is out on March the 9th.
Is it quite unreasonably priced?
No, it's $7.99.
Whoa!
On the pre-sales on Amazon. So just Google Scummy Mummy's book on Amazon and buy it.
Buy it.
Telling
get
people
drunk
to Google things
20.
On Amazon. I think they can probably find a less convoluted route to ordering the book.
Search our book and you will find it. Excellent.
Oh, amazing. Well, there we go. That's the end of the podcast.
Excellent. Yes. Yay.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Favourite flavour of Monster Munch?
I'll pick a onion.
That's the correct answer.
There's no other answer. No, I do like all the other flavours, but yeah, pickled onion is, and that's my hangover crispy.
I do the rice roast beef, but the spicy, the chilli.
Oh no, I love that. Yeah, no, I like them all, actually. They are good, but it's got to be pickled onion for me.
Do you like a knick-knack?
I love a knick-knack. Scampi and lemon, not widely available, but the best, one of the best crisps.
Much missed.
Much missed.
I introduced Helen to salt and vinegar discos the other day.
Very good.
Blew her little mind.
They're sharp, aren't they? They're like proper. Yeah, yeah. They're really
little discs of MSG and sourness.
Yeah. Really sour. Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing. Do not eat with a cold sore. Yeah. Top tip. Top life tip. Do not eat knick-knacks. Yeah.
Good. Crisp chat done. That's crisps sorted out at last. Thank goodness.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.